Good morning, Mike Broomhead.
Good morning, Jamie. Better for us in the building than on the streets. Oh, my gosh. I mean, Detour Dan has got us. It's busy.
Yeah, it is. Did you see the wrong way bus going down the ramp at 79th Avenue?
Yeah, that's...
I'm just glad they stopped it in time. I'm sure the bus driver was freaking out going, this doesn't look right.
Maybe
it's the now former bus driver.
I was going to say the currently looking for a job.
Bus driver.
Bus driver. Yeah, Jamie, we can laugh now because nobody was in a crash, but a bus going the wrong way onto a freeway? It's like something out of a movie.
Yep.
Well, thanks, Jamie. Good morning, everyone. Keep your ears here because there are some issues on our roadways around the valley, and we'll keep you updated this morning, throughout the morning, to make sure you get where you're going to safely and quickly. Much to get to coming up at 8:35. We are going to speak with John Simon. He's the president of the AZFOP Lodge. That's the Fraternal Order of Police, Lodge 32. They represent about 80% of the state troopers for DPS. We're going to talk about the hiring freeze at the state level from the governor's office. The governor has given a response, but the concern from many in public safety is you've already got a short staff DPS. What does this mean? Not just to the sworn, but to the unsworn, the civilian employees that work and all of the work that DPS does. It is about troopers and it is about visibility and it is about public safety and trooper safety, but they do so much with DPS across the state of Arizona. And I've been involved a little bit with DPS. I've learned a little bit more about it over the years. So we'll talk about this coming up at 8:35. I hope you can stick around for it. Want to start with the mayor of Phoenix yesterday making some big announcements. Mayor Kate Gallego, during her State of the City address, talked about the future of Phoenix, calling Phoenix the future, talking about the increase in manufacturing across the state, highlighting TSMC and the direction the city is going. We are growing at Sky Harbor Airport. It's a good place to start is with Sky Harbor Airport. They call it the friendliest airport in the country. It's not a bad airport to get in and out of. I usually park in the East Economy lot and make my way in. I fly out of Terminal 4 most of the time. I fly on American Airlines, but, the airport is not as easy to navigate when you're driving a vehicle, if you're picking somebody up or dropping somebody off. And I hope they're going to do something about that traffic. I don't know what they can do where the executive terminal is and the way everything is kind of squeezed between the runways, what they can do with getting traffic in and out of there, especially if they're going to start construction on a brand new terminal and what they're going to do there. But it's going to increase in size. I don't think that's a bad thing for the city. And we're going to have more traffic in and out of there. It's good. That's also going to increase revenue for the city as well. So that conversation we'll be having in the days to come. Another thing that the mayor talked about was forming an Olympic committee to bring events to Phoenix from the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles. That doesn't mean, I don't believe she means we're going to have some of the events here as far as the competition, but some of the Olympic events in Phoenix. One of the great things is Phoenix has become known nationally and even internationally is putting on major events and doing it very well. When you have a system like we do, because our stadium, you know, when it comes to the stadium for events, the stadium is in the city of Glendale. And for a long time, this is not a knock against Glendale, but they did not have the hotel rooms and the resorts and the things that were necessary in the West Valley because growth is going that way. Eventually, there's going to be plenty out there. But for years, there wasn't enough. So the games were played out there, but the events, whether it was the Super Bowl or anything else, you would see like the NFL experiences in downtown Phoenix at the convention center. A lot of the parties are in Scottsdale. But when you have multiple cities with major events and they work together the way they do, it's a good thing. I think it's a great thing for the city. I like to see the city moving forward and talking about how we are going to expand things for people to do here. We are going to become a destination for more things. I just can't see that there's a downside showing off what we do here in the city. We're going to talk a little bit more in detail about being middle class, what it really means to be, how much money does it take based on the economy of where you live to be middle class. So we are watching a changing in Arizona that I think is a good change for most people. There are some that it's not quite. And what I mean by that is we are watching home prices increase. We have a higher demand for homes. We're not building them fast enough. We know that to be true. We're working on trying to get that problem solved. But at the same time, we are seeing the cost of living increase because the median income is increasing, which is a good thing. So the people that are on fixed incomes are having a tough time keeping up in many cases, which is completely understandable. The other part of it is, are we watching as job growth happens, we're seeing income levels go up for some. How are we going to keep people in their homes? The homeless issue that we're seeing now in Arizona is increasing, and one of the fastest growing demographics of people trying to stay housed are older people on fixed incomes. They're collecting Social Security. They've set up what they believe is enough money aside so that they can retire, and they have retired, but they're finding out that their bills are not being covered by what they're doing. They're going back into the workforce if they can on some level. So with that being said, how are we going to let people catch up? The other part of it is younger people in training. There's a story that's out about how Arizona, it's easier to get a job and it's higher paying jobs if you have a college degree, which we know in many cases that is true. We also know that there are more and more young people going toward the trades or some other training form so that they can get a job. And that's the biggest part of this that I think we're missing out on. Solving a homeless problem, and this isn't all about homelessness, but since I'm talking about this, solving the homeless problem between the people that are service resistant and the people that are looking to get back into a home and get back on track with their lives. Sorting those two groups out, taking the people that want services to get back into housing where they are self-sustaining. That's the goal. We're having the resources to do that. Step number two is looking at the groups of people that are challenged with housing, that are in danger of losing their housing. Everyone that's an expert in this area that I've ever talked to says it's less expensive to keep someone in their home than it is to find them a home once they're out. So we're not talking about taking over people's rent or taking over their payments. We're talking about how do you get them self-sufficient? What is it that they need? Training for a new job, a job change, something to keep them housed. But the other part of it is younger people. If you've got kids that are high school age, the conversation with them in high school about what do they want to do. Now, that changes for many people. We know people that change their college major while they're in college. But the idea that if you're going to go to college, you need to start preparing yourself with applying for grants and applying for all of the things that are available to you to either go to school with loans or scholarships or grants. But for the other students that may go in the other direction, getting job training, because we do have a lot of jobs that do not require college degrees, but they are specialized. Getting the specialized training at a younger age when you're not as bound by big bills that you have to pay every month, which means you're more flexible in how you can do things. You can move around. You can do different things. You can take a job for the experience and not necessarily the money at the very beginning. Get the experience, get a higher paying job down the road on your resume. All of these things in talking with younger people give them a better opportunity of fitting in and succeeding and excelling in today's society. But I love the options that are coming here. When I first moved here in 1995, I was in construction, and that was an area where you didn't have to have a college degree. You still don't, but it was one that I knew I would find work. Jobs were available. I was never concerned about losing my job. We had the glitch that happened with the market crash in 07, 08. But when we saw before that in the mid-90s, construction was a very lucrative and very stable way to make a living. But it wasn't going to get you wealthy. It wasn't an opportunity to put a lot of money away or to grow a lot of wealth. It was a job that was very good in a safe career. We've watched construction jobs go up immensely. We've seen the pay go up for them where these are middle class jobs and they're doing very well because there is an opportunity for so many people. There are jobs out there that have to fight for your employment. And I think that's a great thing for us. I think the mayor's address was one of not just of hope, but it was one of a good future. And I don't think that's a bad thing. thing. I think all of us should be proud of the direction we're heading. What we do with public safety, and I think the bond issue is not the way I would have wanted it done, but I'm glad that it got done, and that we are going to see our fire department grow and our police departments. That's the one area I would say in public safety that the city of Phoenix needs to accelerate, that we need to make a commitment that we are going to hire the people that we need. We are going to put in the fire stations and the equipment we need so that we have a safe city and we can maintain this. Response time should not be high. The people that work in public safety should be able to do their job safely because they have enough people around them. And hopefully that's where we're going. Coming up in a moment, we're going to talk about public safety. We're going to talk about DPS with John Simon, president of the Arizona Fraternal Order of Police. A hiring freeze across the state. What does that mean to DPS troopers and safety on our roadways? We'll get to that coming up here in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. In a letter to state agency directors last Friday, Ben Henderson, the governor's office director of operations, said that they are implementing a headcount cap on many positions. And DPS has spoken out about this, saying it could be catastrophic to the agency. DPS has been dramatically understaffed, like a lot of police agencies, for a long time. If you think about the expansion we've had in Arizona just in the last 15 years or so, just here in the valley, we have the 2202s, the 101, the 303, the expansion of the 60. We're seeing roadways expand just here in the valley immensely. Do we have enough people to patrol them to cover the crashes and the DUIs and the crime that is happening? Not to mention all of the other things that DPS does across the state with crime labs and storage of evidence and the state radio system. It's a big job. So joining us to talk about that right now is the president of AZFOP Lodge 32, John Simon. Mr. Simon, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike, good morning. Thanks for having me on your show.
I'm not sure if I gave that enough of an explanation. Can you give us an overview of what troopers across the state of Arizona are facing in patrolling our roadways just from the perspective of public safety on the roadways? And how short-staffed are you?
You know, Mike, you really teed it up really well. Our population here in the state has boomed. We have 6 million registered drivers, 8 million registered vehicles on the road. You know, the FOP, the Fraternal Order of Police, as well as our partners at the State Troopers Association, based on our population here in Arizona, we're projecting that we should have at least 3,000 sworn Arizona State Troopers just to keep up with the growth. Today, DPS has only 952 sworn state troopers, and that's of all ranks. So that's including sergeants and captains and majors. There's currently 323 trooper vacancies under this year's budget. There's 677 awesome pro staff people, professional staff employees. But even among their ranks, we have 155 vacancies. You know, if you look at all the positions at DPS under both state and federal funding, we're dealing with a vacancy rate of about 28%. That's like an 11-man football team, Mike, with 8 players. No quarterback, no running back, and we're missing a lineman. We can't keep up with this ever-expanding highway system, the booming population in the state, the complicated expectations from the public without being able to field a complete team.
When we immediately think of it being dangerous for troopers on the roadways of the valley because of the freeway traffic and everything else. But in many cases, in very rural areas, troopers are by themselves for extended periods of time. And sometimes they're the only law enforcement that's out there. They've got to be some kinds of psychologist and a counselor, and sometimes they've got to fight for their lives. This short staffing is affecting people across the state, not just in these densely urban areas, right?
You're absolutely right, Mike. You know, I work as a motor here in Central Phoenix, and just in Phoenix, you might go from an overdose call with our unhoused population to a fatal motor vehicle collision all within the course of 15 minutes. Out in rural Arizona, you might be the only law enforcement officer, literally the only cop, within 50 to 100 miles. So that means no backup. You're dealing with domestic violence situations, drunk drivers, people who might be smuggling people from other countries, smuggling in illegal drugs, and our troopers are alone out there. You know, there's 15 counties in the state of Arizona. Only 2 of our counties have 24-hour coverage. That's a huge issue when it comes to response times, and it's a huge issue for public safety. So if you call the Department of Public Safety in the middle of the night, Now we're having to call out a trooper from their house. They're going to have to get dressed, start their car, start their computer, and then drive to your emergency. That takes valuable time, and it's sometimes a life or death issue.
Yeah, and I don't think people understand that that's what's happening in Arizona. We see the presence here in the valley, and we just think it's 24/7 everywhere in the state. So let's talk about this cap that they're putting on. Have you heard, is it going to affect DPS? Are they hiring if somebody leaves the agency? Are you able to fill the vacancies that are there now if you can get the people to do it? What is this going to do to the agency moving forward?
So listen, Mike, as of now, we're expecting at least a 4% reduction in our budget, defunding of our budget. We've been told that we can continue hiring for vacant positions based off of attrition. So in other words, as our experienced troopers are leaving the job, we can hire to replace them. Well, as I already said, we're already more than 300 vacancies short. At DPS, we don't have enough troopers as it stands right now. We need to add more troopers. We need to increase our recruiting efforts. We need to continue staffing our state trooper academy. This is going to have a huge impact to our operations at DPS if we can't keep growing as an agency and adding more state troopers to start solving this problem.
Another element of this, and I don't know if you can speak to this or not, is I had the experience over about a 5-year period of being the MC for your award ceremonies for not just sworn troopers, but also for your professional staff. And I learned so much about your crime labs and catching up when the people were behind with rape kits across the state that many of the smaller counties and jurisdictions, they don't have crime labs and they count on the DPS to do a lot of that work for them. Is it going to impact that? Do you have any idea of the impact on the crime labs as well if there is a reduction in the budget?
Absolutely, Mike. You know, our professional staff employees provide such a valuable public service, not only to other law enforcement agencies, but also citizens, whether it's sex offender compliance, the statewide crime lab, the radio infrastructure, concealed weapons permitting, security guard licensing. There's so many aspects to the Department of Public Safety that, you know, in addition to just highway patrol and criminal investigations, our pro staff employees are really customer service agents for citizens of Arizona and other law enforcement agencies. It's going to be a big hit.
John Simon is joining us. He is the president of the Fraternal Order of Police Lodge 32. They represent about 80% of Arizona state troopers. When you look at the overall issue here, have you had conversations or the DPS bosses had conversations with the governor's office? Is there any chance that you're not going to have this happen to you? Are you in discussions to head this off before it happens?
Mike, that's a great question. You know, I've been up in the director's office Monday and Tuesday, and they share a lot of the concerns that we have as the employee associations. You know, any kind of hit to public safety, we know, is a hit to our ability as a statewide agency to provide our statutory mission to the citizens. It's my understanding that the leadership at DPS is spearheading this and is negotiating with the governor's office and the state legislature to hopefully put an end to this. That would be the best route. What we would like to see as the Fraternal Order of Police is DPS not lose any funding in our budget, and in fact to increase our budget and to increase the number of positions that we have as a statewide agency.
Yeah, and I've had the privilege of, like I said, being at some of those award ceremonies. The work that the troopers are doing on the freeways, you are truly the ambassadors for the state many times. And even when a car breaks down, a flat tire or whatever it is, it becomes a life-threatening incident if your vehicle breaks down and you don't have AC. And a lot of times, the lifeline is not just troopers, but the roadside assistance and the other things that DPS does for people.
You're right. You know, Mike, I'm a working trooper. I ride a motor in Central Phoenix, and as a matter of fact, I was out taking wrecks and writing carpool tickets just a little bit ago. I really work with some of the most caring, compassionate, thoughtful people in this state. You know, from day one, we're all instilled, whether you're a state trooper or professional staff, we're instilled with the values of integrity, courtesy, courteous vigilance, service, trust. I love working here. This is such a great place to work, and the people I work with love working here too. But we need to have the support from our leaders. This is a very challenging time for the state of Arizona. That's for sure.
Well, John, I appreciate the time today and the work that you do, and I hope you'll come back. We're going to stay on this issue here, and I would love you to bring more information to the audience.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mike.
All right, man. Be safe. That's John Simon. He is with the Fraternal Order of Police, representing 80% of troopers across the state. Coming up, we have our Big Q poll question of the day, so stick around for it.
The Gatos Big Q poll question, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.
Well, it is the Big Q poll question of the day, but there is no Gatos. It's still Julia, producer Julia, with the question. What do you got, Julia?
All right. Today's question is, the Phoenix Suns went down 0-2 to the Minnesota Timberwolves last night by a score of 105-93. Can the Suns bounce back and win this series? Yes, no, or they will get swept at home.
Oh, that third option. I have to, my heart says yes. My head says no, but I don't think they're getting swept.
They might win one. I can see them winning one game.
So do you think, because you're a sports fanatic, Is Vogel in trouble? Is the coach in trouble?
Definitely.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think so. Yeah.
You got a superstar team, and if you're underperforming, whether it's his fault or not, that's usually where they look to make a change.
I'm not sure if Ishbia wants to give up so quickly on Vogel, because that was his guy. He made that hire. But, I mean, if they don't get out of the first round, that's just embarrassing.
Yeah. All right. Well, great question, Julie. I appreciate it. The Big Q poll question today brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers. Coming up just after 9 o'clock, we are going to jump on how much it takes to be considered middle class and the reason why that's important. What do you need to have a comfortable life? We are going to get to that coming up in the 9 o'clock hour.